Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Glad to be with you here as we're going to visit a topic that we got so many calls on the week ago. We thought, hey, we got to come back and revisit this thing about our parents and relationship with the parents. And the Bible says, honor your mom and dad. And some of you say, amen, I do that, no problem. Others are saying, what? What is that Bible? Honor my mom and dad. They're not very honorable people. We got problems, got tension, whatever it may be. How do you handle that? Welcome to the program. In just a minute or two, I'm going to have our guest join us, Dr. David Hawkins. David is a clinical psychologist and does a lot of work with couples and has some expertise in this area. Just before we do that, we got callers standing by as well, but we receive a lot of comments that come in our comment line. And I heard one. We listen to these because we care about you and we care about the thoughts that you share with us. And I thought Debbie shared with us, I'm not sure where Debbie lives, but she talked about how, well, I want you to hear. She's going to talk about how if we don't, as parents, develop a healthy relationship with our kids, how we can actually end up pushing our kids away. And so this is not only about you maybe having a problem with your adult kid, your parents, but let me say to parents, as you look at your adult kids, you could end up winning the battle and losing the war on some of these issues. So just before we get David on with us, I want you to listen to this as Debbie, I think she does such a beautiful job. Take a listen.
We have adult children that are living in our home because of being back in school and trying to find jobs and such as that, just needing to still be with us. And so being that they're adult children, of course, you know, as everyone can imagine, that creates a certain set of challenges. And we've enjoyed having them, but it's also difficult. And my husband, who died about 6 weeks ago, always wanted to kind of keep tabs on what was happening, the progress they were making with their goals in school and their search for a job and what was happening with the new job and those kinds of things. And I guess reflecting back on it, I mean, I'm so aware of how, now that he's gone, that in doing that, you know, he did kind of push them away, and they often would say things to me like they called it the 20 questions. The daddy was always asking the 20 questions, and they would actually hide from him, you know, like hide away in their room or whatever to avoid having those 20 questions. And they did see it as a nosiness or not trusting them to take care of their lives or whatever. And I think it was not productive because often they wouldn't want to share things or wouldn't share things that probably if he had approached it a different way, maybe they would have. And I think, too, you have to trust your kids to work out their own lives. And even if it's affecting you and maybe not the best thing in your view and you don't really want to experience that situation, you really just have to kind of go with it and trust God and trust that your kids will do the right thing and everything will turn out later the way that you always hoped it would.
Boy, thank you, Debbie. She said it well, and maybe you have your kids, you start to feel there's a distance all of a sudden. Maybe they have some feelings. Maybe they feel like you're butting in too much. Having an honest discussion is a good way to start this process. At the end of the day, our goal here at Intentional Living is to help you maintain this very high-stake, important relationship with your parents. It's a big deal. And our goal would be to see it work with a lot of grace and mercy and forgiveness and communication. Dr. David Hawkins is my guest today. David's a clinical psychologist from the Seattle area and has a ministry of recovery for couples and is joining us today again. Thank you, David, for coming back and being a part of the program.
Absolutely. You know, this Debbie's words about nosiness again, Randy, I'm reminded of an adage that I think is worth all of us bearing in mind. Unsolicited advice is always perceived as criticism. Unsolicited advice is always, maybe that's a little strong, but it's perceived as criticism. So, hey, I want to tell you something. Whoa, wait a minute. Anyway, so this parent that Debbie, or her husband, who spoke into their children's lives without permission, without having that rapport, without having that connection, it's going to be perceived as criticism, and then people are going to actually push away. And so if we're not aware of that dynamic, Oh my goodness! There's the havoc that's created again.
Yeah, and again, and I think the word permission is important. Maybe that one of the ways to address that is to, if you have something you really feel you'd like to share, an observation, would be to seek permission. You know, say, honey, listen, I have a thought. Can I have permission to share it? And give them permission to say, if you don't want it, that's fine. I'll back off. But you're honoring them to at least give them an opportunity to say no to your advice.
Exactly. Another word, Randy, that talks about it, takes us into consideration is the word relevance. So in other words, you know, if you want to speak into my life, Randy, if I don't find you relevant, if I haven't said, you know what, I want Randy to talk to me, I like this guy, or if you're a parent, if your child doesn't find you relevant, if you don't have that established rapport and that permission that we just talked about, then somebody is going to be, their eyes are going to gloss over and say, you know, you're not relevant to me. I don't want this. I don't need this. So we've got to establish that if we're going to speak into each other's lives.
Wow. That's a whole preaching. There's a message outline right there, David, because I think many people approach relationships thinking, well, I've got some wisdom I want to share. But like you say, if you're not relevant, if you don't have a relationship, then it's going to go in one ear and out the other at best, or it's going to be rebuffed with criticism or with hostility at worst. And so really working on the relationship first is key.
Exactly. And so to the husband and wife who have parents, so in-laws, the same thing goes in that relationship, in that marriage. So the wife who thinks her husband is a mommy's boy or whatever, again, my goodness, be careful in how you talk to him about that relationship. So, in other words, if the wife says to him, you know, you're just a mommy's boy, my goodness, okay, there's criticism. Now he's going to push away from her. He might even become even more attached to the parent, defending the parent. And can you kind of hear the dynamic that just gets going here? And so I want to be able to talk to my mate about their relationship to their parent, but it's got to be done in a very respectful, caring way, being vulnerable and sharing what I would like to see happen, but done very, very carefully and caringly.
That's good. I mean, the criticisms, we know John Gottman, who researches much on marriage, in fact, up your way, talks about criticism at the top of the list of the big four that really destroy marriage. And if that's what's being perceived, it's being perceived as criticism as opposed to cooperation or love and respect. Wow, that really hurts. Okay, let's get Ramona on the line from New Mexico. Ramona, welcome. Thank you for waiting. How are you today?
Just fine, thank you. Blessed. Well, totally blessed.
Amen. Well, I'm glad to hear it. How do you relate to this topic, Ramona?
Well, I've been married 48 years. My mother-in-law was a tough woman. Didn't like me from the beginning. And on all honesty, I didn't like her either. But I learned to shower her because I asked the Lord, what is it I could do? And I asked to see her in his eyes and realized that she had a past that she wasn't happy with. She had a past that was hard on her. And just reaffirming her that, you know, what she did is fine. You know, there's no judgment, nothing. And so she deserved better, and she deserved to have what she requested.
What difference did that make in your relationship over those years?
Really good, because she passed away, and before she passed away, I went to see her, and she explained to me that I'm the only one who loved her out of her four children and myself.
Mm.
But we had some hard times. And I told her, no, it's not that I loved you anymore. It's just that we all show our love in a different way.
Yeah.
And she was telling me, because of my honesty, I showed that I loved her more.
Mm. Well, David, that's it. The life is short. Someday we're going to be there at that moment when they're gone, or when we're gone, they'll be there. And being able to, I think Ramona hit it on the head. I mean, getting behind the eyes of your parents or your in-laws enough to see that maybe they've got some junk they're bringing to the relationship that's causing them to respond or be the way they are.
So, yeah, I want to comment on Ramona. So, So Ramona's self-esteem, I'll use a little bit of psychological language here. Randy, cut me off if I get too psychobabblish here, but Ramona's self-esteem is intact. She's secure in herself. She knows who she is. And so she's approaching her mother-in-law. She's not taking things personally. She's empathizing with her mother-in-law. It's like, okay, I don't need to take any of this personally. My mother-in-law is my mother-in-law. She is who she is. I'm secure in who I am. My mother-in-law can't really harm me. So I know this goes a ways for any of us to get to that point where we're secure and we know who we are and our self-esteem is intact and we know who we are in God's eyes and so on. And if we can get to that place, then it's like, okay, I can be with you. I don't necessarily like how you are. Our values are different, but we can relate to each other.
Yeah, that's really good, David, because one of the things we know in working with relationships is that the weakest person in a relationship tends to control the relationship.
Yeah.
And so if you have a mother-in-law or a father or mother that's emotionally weak, has a lot of insecurity, and you feel the same way, you can allow them in that regard to control the relationship, which is not healthy. But understand then that in your strength, to be able to express some grace, put some boundaries in place, to handle this in a way that will honor Christ and certainly honor the relationship. Okay, David Hawkins is my guest today, Dr. David Hawkins, a clinical psychologist. We're going to get to more calls in just a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
So here's the question, what is hope? Let's just get down. This lesson is intended for all of you here on staff and for our members to really think about this message of hope, because this is what we're communicating. How do we communicate hope? First of all, we've got to know what hope is. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised in His strength and in His faithfulness. In other words, our hope is not in ourselves. It's not like I hope for a pizza, I hope for a new car, I hope for this or that, but our confidence is in Christ. It's the promises of Christ. We're assured will be a reality in our lives, and that's really what hope is. You know, today we've been talking about honoring mom and dad, and sometimes we feel hopeless in that relationship, perhaps, or hopeless in another relationship. And like I say on this teaching this month, the hope level is limitless. I mean, there's no bottom to the reservoir of God's intentional hope for you and me. But to experience it is a decision we have to make. And this month, I focus on that topic of how do you experience hope. Some really practical things, top 10 things you can do. I share 4 of them this month, part 2 next month. And so if you join us today, we'll make sure you get both this month and next month. Come and be a part of Intentional Living. Your monthly support's going to go a long ways. We got a lot of friends all around the country, many giving $1 a day, some giving more, some giving less. What matters most is you're a part of this journey. We want you on board to be a part of the journey. We'll make sure you receive this. Plus, when you join, I handpicked a classic that I have right here in my library behind me. It's a book by Henry Blackaby called Experience God, and it's our gift to you when you join in support today. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, our main number, and press number 2. And boy, we appreciate you joining to be a part of Intentional Living. Here's one thing in 1 minute that will help you with that difficult person in your life. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I was thinking about how Jesus had so many difficult people in his life, but he did not allow them to control him. Jesus spoke the truth and kept moving. He kept focused on his mission and why he was here. So often in our lives, we can get sidetracked by difficult people. either trying to please them or change them or correct them. And in the long run, we both lose. So here's one thing. Set godly, clear, loving boundaries in that relationship. And then keep moving for God's glory and your benefit. And when you do, that's intentional living.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
Dr. David Hawkins is my guest today. We're talking about honor your father and mother. It's biblical. It's Ephesians 6, chapter, verse 1. But how do you do it if they're not all that honorable people? You have a relationship that you're wrestling with. David, we've got Elizabeth, who's called in from Arizona. Welcome to the program, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment or question?
So my question is, how do you deal with family members that are disrespectful in how they handle situations, and after sitting down and talking with them, if they don't change how they treat me or my fiance, what should be my next action?
And so, in other words, you're talking to the parents, I'm assuming. You talk to them,
yeah.
and they just, what do? They just blow you off, or they get angry, or control them?
They'll blow me off, get angry. They'll say, oh, you're thinking it wrong. That's not how it is. Or they'll tell me that I'm speaking out of turn, and then, yeah.
Mm. So. And how do you respond?
I try to respond in love whenever I talk to them, and it's gotten to the point where I can only talk to them through text messages, just so that I can have time to myself after a rude or harsh comment towards me or about my fiance, and be able to gather myself, pray, and then go forward with talking to them through whatever transpired. But my background is, I come from a psychologically abusive home. So when I try to step up for myself, or if I try and say what's actually correct and biblical, I'm the bad guy, and then they blame me. So I've become the family punching bag, if you will. And
yeah,
they don't want to accept their wrongs.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Elizabeth. Not the way we want relationships to work. Sounds like it's kind of right up your alley, David, with some of the work that you do, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Elizabeth, first of all, I mean, my goodness, this is a tough situation. So you're growing here. But remember, first of all, remember, see it as a growing opportunity. So that this is a chance for you to grow and for you to develop stronger in your own personhood. I'm going to play Monday morning quarterback, meaning I'm going to critique you a little bit. You're probably talking too much to them, trying to convince them of something, trying to make a point, trying to get them to see something. I wouldn't do that. I would keep your words incredibly few, incredibly simple. You know, mom and dad, or however you address them, we're happy to be involved. By the way, your husband needs to be right on the same page with you. Mm. We're happy to be involved with you folks as long as blank happens, you know, as long as we feel respected. And then you do that again and again. You set the boundary, you hold the boundary, you monitor the boundary, you don't get into any emotional entanglement, no arguing, no fighting, no nothing, just simple, back away, respect, just set the boundary, reinforce it, do it again and again. And if you're consistent and clear, consistency and clarity typically convinces, typically, not always.
Mm.
Randy, you want to add
to that? What I would add, Elizabeth, and in your case, it sounds like this has been a pattern of behavior, not just on this one topic. Yep. If you have parents who have been generally, you know, very supportive, you got a good relationship, you seem to respect what's going on, then all of a sudden you're making a decision and it's kind of out of character for them to be very concerned or to bring up some issues, it would be easy if you feel really convicted, like, I need to do this, to blow them off and see it as disrespect when they really might have some legitimate input for you and for your life. That's why seeking counsel of other people, to get some outside counsel to see, is there some validity of what my parents are trying to say to me? In your case, it sounds like it's an ongoing pattern that has been the case over many, many years. And putting those very strong yet healthy boundaries in place. And it's important you do it now, Elizabeth, and don't wait until after you get married. Because, David, I'm sure you, the work you do in your intensives with couples, you probably see that in-laws or families are, it's not uncommon to be at the core of a breakup in a marriage.
Absolutely, Randy. If you don't do the work and get that, just get those patterns established early on, you're going to have more and more and more problems. And like I said in that, in a different example there, if animosity and acrimony develop between the partners, between the husband and wife, now we've got this what's called triangulation. You know that word, triangulation happens, and now you and me are fighting about them, and they're fighting about me and you, and it's just, we've got to pull back and get things clear.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Elizabeth, we appreciate you calling. We'll be thinking of you, praying for you, and I would encourage you, as David has shared, to get some of these things resolved before you actually jump into that marriage.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're very welcome. Sorry.
Well, God bless you.
Sorry you're
Elizabeth.
Facing that. Yeah. All right, Rhonda, you're going to get the Patience Award today. You've been waiting so long. Thank you for your call from Florida.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
Well, I had this mother-in-law that was absolutely horrible, and she was mean, very vicious and mean. But I knew, I wasn't a Christian at the time, and she was an alcoholic, but I knew that if I let hate in my heart, that I would be in trouble. So instead of lashing back out at her, I loved her anyway. And through time, because of that, I was able to get her by the arm and make her look in the mirror to what she was doing to herself with alcohol, and she eventually quit drinking.
Mm.
But I loved her anyway.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
It's hard because nowadays, especially, David, we're seeing so much substance abuse and opioid problems and addiction. When all of a sudden you bring that into the equation, boy, it kind of, the whole ante in the dynamic changes, doesn't it?
It really does. I want to amplify what she just said, Randy, about allowing hatred in the heart. So, you know, we develop these mindsets. That word mindset is like, I mean, you can kind of picture it. We develop a story, a narrative, a way we view people. And hats off again to Rhonda, who said to herself, I'm not going to allow an attitude to seep into my heart. I'm not going to allow myself to develop hardness of heart, to develop this negative, bitter, resentful attitude. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to remain kind of fluid and flexible, again, staying secure in who I am. And my goodness, the outcome there was miraculous. So, and all of us can do this. We can do what Rhonda did there. So that's what I would just give a shout out to everyone. Let's be Rhonda-like in how we're interacting.
Very, very good. Powerful. You know, we get a lot of comments here that come flowing into our comment line. And Tandra called in. I'm not sure where she's from, but she was talking about adult children. And she's making a point here I think I'd like to kind of build on for a few minutes about the importance as a husband and wife to get on the same page when you have issues with adult children in the home or outside the home. So I want you to listen to it. And then David and I, we want to talk a little bit about the value of getting your marriage right, because if you do that, it makes dealing with in-laws a lot easier.
Hi, my husband and I, we have four children, two boys, ages 25 and 22. Our girls are 18 and soon to be 16. My husband's a stepfather to my older two boys, and we often have conflict when it comes to the oldest son. He's a new dad. He's always asking for help, and he's not really following God. He's having a hard time with work, finding and keeping a job, constantly asking for help, and I tend to want to give him that help, and my husband doesn't. He wants him to kind of do that on his own, which I believe he does need to do that on his own, but as a mom, I want to give him that help. So my husband and I do have quite a bit of conflict over that. So if you have any suggestions on a way my husband and I can kind of deal with that together, that would be wonderful.
Well, there's an hour of radio right there just to answer that. I think, Tondra, the key, and David, like your thoughts on this, the key is she said, yeah, but I'm a mom. And I think as soon as we get into that dynamic with an adult son or daughter, yeah, but I'm a mom. In other words, you start operating out of your heart when there's issues that need to be put in place. In this case, maybe drawing some boundaries, not having what we might refer to as a symbiotic relationship where you're doing too much and too connected with your adult children. But David, talk to us a little bit, to those listening, about the importance of mom and dad getting on the same page and standing together.
Well, mom and dad, Randy, mom and dad have to get on the same page regarding 1,000 things. I mean, marriage, I are in one. I'm in a marriage, and you are too. And there is tension every day of the week regarding something. I mean, my wife and I don't know if we agree perfectly on anything. Now, don't misread that. We're crazy in love with each other. But still, we've got to have a way. And so this husband and wife need to have a way that they sit down and talk about what are we going to do regarding this son. So whether it's the son or whether it's money or sex or where we're going on vacation, they've got to have a model that they use again and again and again and again. What are we fighting for? Well, first of all, we're fighting for our marriage, and any issue that comes up, we're going to sit down and we're going to collaborate. That's my favorite word in the dictionary, by the way, Randy, just in case you ever want to know and remember. Collaboration. We co-labor together to figure out what we're going to do with the son. You're not right. I'm not right. Nobody's right here. I've got a point of view. You've got a point of view. And we're married, so we're going to talk it out. That's what they've got to do regarding this issue and 1,000 others.
Absolutely. Well, this has been good. I think we still have a lot we could discuss, but we've certainly got some things on the table for you all to be thinking about. And I would challenge you with one thing here. One thing. We've sort of wrapped it up with this thought of you and your spouse in prayer as believers, hopefully together, getting on the same page, seeking God's will, having grace, having love, making sure your attitude is right, but then being able to step out and make that next right decision in terms of the relationship that you want to have and moving toward with your parents or in-laws. Dr. David Hawkins has been my guest today. David, thank you for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Randy. I appreciate it.
And David, if you'd like to know more about David and his ministry, Marriage Recovery Center, and the books and the things he's done, you can check it out by going to theintentionallife.com on our broadcast highlights page. We'll be back again next time. We got more help for you. Glad to be a part of your life. This is Intentional Living. Have a good day.